Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I was sitting here thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira, co-host of The Room, Jordan Palmer, co-creator of the AMC series Better Call Saul, Vince Gilligan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, where we will reside until September when we join forces with the Roku channel. And just a friendly reminder to every single soul out there that is watching us on our YouTube stream or listening to us on our Odyssey app, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate coast to coast. We'll be back on Sirius and XM in short order. Trust me on that one. That the Roku channel that we're going to be joining in September is free, and it's not only on Roku devices. In addition to Roku devices, it's on the Roku app, the RokuChannel.com, Amazon Fire TV, and Samsung Smart TVs, Roku's device, Amazon Fire Stick, and Samsung TV, just only the three largest connected TV devices, and the Roku channel is on all of them. Roku channel is free. I just need to stress all that. Joining us on this program later on this hour, Mike Pereira, the NFL rules analyst for Fox, will explain to me why me freaking out over Kayvon Thibodeau having his knee buckled last night on a hit that has left him with an MCL injury that's going to keep him out for 3 weeks. He's going to explain to me why that hit is legal and why I was wrong to say that there should be a fine and a suspension coming. And so that will lead to the follow-up question, is then why is that hit legal? And what is the league thinking about that? That's coming up in hour number later on this hour. Also, Overreaction Monday. And at this very moment, in hour number three, I will turn to my right and see in the in-studio guest chair the creator of Breaking Bad and the TV show that just wrapped up 1 week ago tonight on AMC, Better Call Saul. The brilliant Vince Gilligan will be here in studio hour three to chop it up with us. And then you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line and find one of my favorites. Makes me smarter every time I talk to him, so it's a good thing that he and Kyle Allen of the Houston Texans have created a new show that's going to be talking with the best quarterbacks of the biggest matchup every single week. It's called The Room. And At The Room with Kyle and Jordan is the way that you can check things out on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. Jordan Palmer back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing well. I'm ready. It's been a long off season for me. The off season is my season, and so
I bet it is
some real football.
Okay, so who do you think will wind up with the biggest leap from year one to year two, or year two to year three at the quarterback position? Jordan Palmer, I'll start very macro with you on that front. What do you got for me?
Yeah,
on that?
Well, I think, and this is just from the situation. I mean, I would expect Trevor Lawrence to make some leaps and bounds. Just you know, the stability he had in high school for 4 years, the stability he had at Clemson for 3 years, and then maybe one of the most unstable environments I've seen for a season, you know, in a long time. For him to go to that, there's just nowhere to go but up. And so I don't even remember what his stats were. I don't know how many interceptions he threw. I kind of just scrapped that whole year. And I would expect Trevor to look more like the number one pick this year and the player that we've all expect him to be. And I think that staff being in around them, adding in a guy like Christian Kirk, a couple other pieces, I think Trevor's in a position to make a big step.
Yeah, I mean, his situation's so unique. I created a word. I don't think it's a word, but I say it. He's unevaluable. You can't evaluate him based on what last year was and looked like, thanks to Urban Meyer. And so now year two for him, what do you think Doug Peterson does that he can bring to the equation that can help us evaluate Trevor Lawrence and see what he can do? What do you think?
Well, I think he's a great offensive mind, but even before that, I mean, he's just going to be in a position to have success. I mean, you know this. You've been doing this a long time. Like, all the stories we heard about what were happening last year with Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's always a small percentage of what's actually happening, right? There's all tons of stuff that no one knows about. So to go into work every single day, and the most important thing you have to do is unrelated to your own success and leading the team to victory or whatever, when like playing quarterback on the team is secondary because there's other fires to put out, I just don't know how you succeed. And so for us, I don't know how you evaluate him. So I totally agree with you. And I think this year we're going to be in a position to evaluate him. He's got stability. They've got an offense that's designed around the pieces that they have on offense. And that sounds really obvious. Like, who doesn't do that? I don't know that they really did that last year. And so kind of co-coordinators and Urban weigh in it. So like I scrap it. I like unevaluable, unevaluatable.
Yeah, that's right.
I would expect a major progress from Trevor this year.
And then another evaluation that I'm keen on, we're hearing it from Tyreek Hill. Mike McDaniel, the new coach in Miami, went on our friend Dan Lebatard's show and mentioned how the ball that Tua throws for a left-hander, even though he's really right-handed, doesn't tail. So he called it the most accurate catchable ball I've ever seen. Do you think this is just talking him up, or do you think that this is the proper evaluation of Tua Tagovailoa going into a very crucial year for him and Miami, Jordan?
I think it's a totally pointless statement to make. I mean, I saw that. I thought maybe a misquote. Just why a head coach would just say that. I mean, or even a player to say that, right? You're gonna have a guy who's on the hot seat right now. But I don't care if we're talking about Joe Burrow to sit here and say, like, this is the greatest, the most catchable ball I've ever seen. I mean, I don't know how you quantify that. I just thought it was a weird statement. And that's aside from Tua. Now, for Tua, I think the main thing is injuries. I mean, he was hurt in high school. He was hurt in college. He's been hurt in the league a little bit, too. So, yeah, he needs to play at a high level, and he needs to take advantage of what they have in that huddle with him, because there are some horses in that huddle. But he's got to stay healthy. And so it's going to be a combination of he's got to play the best football of his career, and he's got to be able to stay healthy in a division that's kind of a weird division right now. You got Buffalo, who's should run through that division and dominate. Who knows what the heck is happening in New England right now? And then with the Jets, I think I've got that's another guy I think should take a step this year, Zach Wilson. But he just missed the most important part of the offseason, which is the month leading up to the season. So what effect that has on him. But, yeah, going back to Tua, just a weird statement. I've thrown it with Tua. I think he's got a great arm. He spins it really well, but it wouldn't be on the top of my list.
Yeah, as a Jet fan, I'm just looking for Zach Wilson to take a physical step, like a literal step first, before we could start talking about the figurative next step for him, And so that crucial period that you're talking about, he has missed it. And so Tyreek's other spot in Kansas City, so much conversation about the fact that Tyreek's not there and the offense will take a step back. But we're seeing all these kids like Justin Watson. We're seeing Sky Moore. We're also seeing MVS and Juju. What's your assessment of the Chiefs offense going into this year, Jordan?
Well, when they lost Tyreek or traded Tyreek, I kind of look at it through the lens of the quarterback. So as I'm talking to guys I work with and all that, we're responding and reacting to what happened, put yourself in Pat's shoes. And, I feel like there's two, maybe three players in the NFL right now where they can literally score from anywhere on the field, right? Any type of throw, all of a sudden, poof, they could take it 80. Now, there's a lot of fast guys in the league. There's a lot of great runners. But I feel like it's Tyreek Hill, it's Ja'Marr Chase, and when healthy, I think it's Alvin Kamara. Those are the three guys where you go, at any given moment, this guy can score. And so that's a small number, Rich. I don't know how you get rid of those guys, right? I don't know how you say we'll replace that with what. So that was my initial reaction. But then you start kind of watching a little bit this offseason. I kind of thought more about what Patrick is. And Pat, I think, is just a significantly more talented version of what Ben Roethlisberger was in his prime, where Ben had a different body type, different talent, different size, all that. But his ability to have guys on the outside run 14-yard curls, and then he pump fakes them, and then they just take off in any direction they want. And so guys like Santonio Holmes, guys like Hines Ward, these guys had great careers there, but it was that second reaction. It was after they run their route, then they just take off in another direction. And I feel like that's what Juju did in Pittsburgh. I think that Patrick is now like the best guy in the league to do that with. And so I actually, my initial reaction was, how are you going to replace Tyreek? And those names you just threw out, I wouldn't be surprised if it looks on paper like they didn't miss Tyreek next year and that production is made up elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a combination of those guys. But, Juju is a guy where I could see him actually have a really big year because of what I just said. It's not how fast he is or how clean a routes he runs. It's that second reaction, playmaking down the field. Pat's essentially building his game off of it right now, and he's the best in the league at doing that.
And you could see this weekend, the Chiefs stood out as a team that had handled the first half of their preseason game in D.C. like it was the old school week three preseason. Like they were running their offense, it looked like to me a little bit. Jordan, right?
Yeah, they did. And I mean, Pat looked,
you look great.
Like you look great. Yeah. But I think we got to have confidence at each position and all that stuff, but you got to have confidence as an offense. Like when that coordinator brings everybody up in the meeting room, like you got to be able to see this working really well before the season starts, right? You can have confidence in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, these individual players, but you lost a big piece in Tyreek. And so the entire collective group and staff needs to go, all right, I see really clearly how this goes. So I was not surprised that they got significant playing time in the preseason to just, as a room, go ahead and take that step and go, all right, cool. Yeah, we're going to move forward.
Jordan Palmer, Quarterback Summit founder and coach, and The Room co-host with Kyle Allen. And you can check it out on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Who's the quarterback or offense we're not talking about that you think we should be? Jordan Palmer, what do you got for me?
Oh, man. There's a couple of them, but I think there's one guy that maybe the longest offseason and had to suffer through the longest offseason, which is Ryan Tannehill. Right now, because it's preseason stuff, we're talking about Malik Willis, but how's Ryan Tannehill going to respond? Because, they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. Derrick Henry was hurt quite a bit, came back, and then to throw three picks when your defense, I think they sacked Burrow, what was it, seven, eight, nine times?
Nine.
Like that.
Yep.
Nine times. How's Ryan Tannehill respond here? You know, they got a young guy. We heard the comment that he made, which, I think was blown out of proportion, but about, it's not my job to help Malik. But I'm curious what's going to happen in Tennessee because it's still a good defense. It's still, Derrick Henry's healthy, probably the last team you want to play when it comes to running the football. And it's a small market, and they just slip through the cracks a lot. And so I'm really curious to see how Ryan Tannehill responds to, like I said, I think maybe the longest offseason of the year.
That is one of them. No doubt about it. I think it's his gig, right? I mean, do you think any of the rookies have a shot to start this year? I guess Pickett does look like one who's got the best shot at a week one potential so far. I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably the only guy that's got a shot at that. I don't know the value in running with Kenny Wynn right now. And Kenny's actually a guest on our show that you've been mentioning.
Yes.
The Room. He's a guest next week. And so excited to talk with him. But I don't know what you gain out of it. It's kind of like in Atlanta. They just went ahead and named Marcus Mariota the starter because what's the point in having a QB competition
right,
if it's close at all? Now, if Trubisky was, playing the worst ball of his career and Kenny's doing what he's doing right now, it makes more sense. But when you've got a veteran and a rookie and they're both playing, commiserate, about the same, all that, I just err on the side of going with the older guy because you can always make that switch down the road. So I do think that Desmond has a chance to start this year in Atlanta, whether it's because they're struggling or injury, and I think the same thing with Kenny. But I'm excited to watch Trubisky play. Maybe that's an answer to what offense am I excited?
Sure.
I'm excited to watch Trubisky play in this system because just hearing Josh Allen talk about him last year when he went and got a year out of the spotlight, out of Chicago, got to go back up Josh, watch him play at that level he played at. I'm excited to watch Trubisky, how he responds too.
Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the few minutes left, let's talk about Josh Allen because he's, your odds-on favorite for MVP.
Fun.
And you've been there since jump, man. And I just wonder how does his ascension change the way we evaluate kids coming out of college? Because I just remember the evaluation of him and now what he's done and where he is entering this season. And you know, you're also seeing comparisons of stats with him and Daniel Jones. I saw that last night on the Giants preseason broadcast, and they're quite similar through the first 38 starts of his career and things of that nature. I'm just wondering how, if Josh Allen's going to start changing potentially the way that we evaluate quarterbacks, or he's just such a unicorn. What do you think?
I do. Forever people have said things like, you can't coach accuracy. You know, you can't go to the NFL where it's harder and get better and be a better pro than you were in college. And he's not, he's certainly not the only one who's done that, who's become a better pro than he was college player. But I hear, I've been hearing that a lot. And when coaches say that, I say, I believe you. I bet you can't. You help somebody get more accurate as they get older. But he's already changing it. I've actually spent some time this offseason going around to different buildings, different NFL teams, and speaking to the scouting departments on that, kind of getting brought in to consult and talk with different scouting departments about how they have actually evaluated the position. And I just think that we've got to go back further. And so when you look at a Josh Allen and you go, where did it come from? You know, you look for the staff, you look to the people who played a role, but he's a rare one that didn't grow up in an area where he had a bunch of elite level quarterback training, like so many kids have right now. And so he kind of got introduced to a lot of the stuff that other kids, when they're younger, get introduced to at a much younger age. He didn't get introduced to it till really late. But then you add in the talent and the ability and his physical traits. And so I just think that to say somebody's not accurate, or I think he was 54% in college, and then write it off, I just think that's lazy. We need to do more research. And if somebody's had a lot of training and they've had great exposure and great experience and they're still 54%, then I think you can write that person off. But what I'm challenging people to do is dive deeper and go back earlier in the story and figure out why they believe what they believe or why they don't believe what they don't believe.
Well, I guess the question is how much better can he get, do you think, Jordan? What do you think?
Well, I think when you look at the guys who've been MVPs and done it, Aaron and Tom and Peyton and these guys who've done it, it was a full season, right? It was no bad games. It was complete. And Josh's highs are as high as we've seen, you know, with his last game of the season last year. But they stubbed their toe and lost to Pittsburgh early. I was in Tennessee for the Monday night game when kind of missed in one, you know, really only missed one or two throws, but then they lose by three. That affects the seeding, you know, and so it's a complete year. They have to start week one the way that they finished last year. The great teams and the best players in this league do that, and that's my expectations for Josh this year.
So what's the expectation for the room? You and Kyle Allen, he's down in Houston, right? And you're just going to meet Zoom and get a guest every week? What's the plan here? Walk me through it.
Well, yeah, so the room, you know, we think about like 30 minutes before a quarterback meeting starts, right? Mm-hmm. You're in the NFL, you're in there. Like, what are the quarterbacks talking for that 20 or 30 minutes before the meeting starts? And a little bit of it's football. And when that part of football is really elite, you know, like advanced conversations about football. You're talking about very interesting stuff. We talk about sports, other sports. You talk about fashion. You talk about music. So we've been talking about doing this, and I've got a lot of awesome guests lined up, essentially the biggest names in football, quarterback position, lined up for this year. And so Kyle and I, it's more like a PTI meets BFFs with Dave Portnoy. It'll live on YouTube. We'll cut things it'll be drips every single day. But we want the best quarterback from the biggest matchup that week. So Kenny Pickett, just because it's preseason, be joining us this week. Desmond Ritter was a guest last week. We'll get JT Daniels right before the Backyard Brawl. Josh Allen to kick off the season. And away we go all the way through this year. So we want to make the most fascinating conversation in football happening on our channel, and we're excited to do it, and got some basically the biggest names in quarterback lined up for the season.
The neat part about that sounds great, man, and I will be checking it out, that's for sure. And the neat part about Josh is it strikes me as he's got the ability to hear all the expectation and shoulder it and just still be himself. I have zero concern that the expectation level is going to consume him. I don't have a single ounce of concern about that at all.
Yeah.
Jordan, you know
it's weird too, Rich. I haven't, you know, you've known my brother a long time.
Yep.
And we were friends a long time. And people made a big deal about Carson. Right? I've certainly seen people in his prime and all that ask for autographs and ask for pictures and all that stuff. It's a little different in Buffalo. I mean, they think they people say and write things like our savior. I mean, really, it's really important to that community in a way that I did not see in my time in the NFL. I never saw a player that important to a community. And whether it was Ocho Cinco in Cincinnati, Brandon Marshall in Chicago, Matt Forte in Chicago, I've never seen a community respond to this. So it's not just the winning expectations. It's like what he means to that community. And I just think I can name a ton, I won't, but a ton of quarterbacks that I've been around that are amazing players that I don't think could handle that. And I don't know what it is. He's just built to be able to handle it. And I agree. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be too big a deal
at all. Normally you'd think that going into a season, certainly for a franchise and a team and a mafia that is so wanting it. I have no concerns about it. I can't wait to see him in a few Thursdays right here in Los Angeles. Let's do this more often. I'd love to do it, Jordan. You know that. So let's do it. Look for my call.
Cool. Thanks, Rich.
Take care of yourself. That's Jordan Palmer at JW Palms on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well. And check out, again, The Room with him and Kyle Allen every single week. YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music at The Room with Kyle and Jordan. We'll take a break over Reaction Monday and your phone calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show on this terrestrial radio network coast to coast. Thanks to Westwood One, Odyssey app, and YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant. Supply chains are clogged and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. It's netsuite.com/richpod. We are about 35 minutes now from the creator of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul coming into our studio, Vince Gilligan. It's going to be a dynamite conversation. We are such big fans of the show. We hope you are as well. And be very honest with you, hope many of you have seen the ending of Better Call Saul because we're going to talk about it a little bit with him. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's take your phone calls if you're out there on our YouTube stream or our terrestrial radio outfit, Odyssey. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Jacob in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, Rich. How are you doing?
What's going on?
Oh, okay. So we'll just get right to it. This is an open question for TJ, Chris, Mike, and you, Rich. Maybe something for you guys to discuss.
Okay.
But as I was sitting with my friend, we were thinking about the Los Angeles Chargers, right? How they're a team that's really good, really talented, but, you know, they didn't end the season the way they wanted to last year because they're a team who can pretty much beat anybody.
Yep.
Like, I think they could beat the Bills, but they could also lose to, like, let's just say the Jaguars. So we were thinking to ourselves, who is the NFC version of that? And when we were talking about it, we said it was the Arizona Cardinals. They can pretty much beat anybody, but they can also pretty much lose to anybody. So what's your guys' take on that?
How about the Dallas Cowboys? I'm not doing that to troll on anybody. I'm serious. What are you laughing about? Last year they I'm serious. Last year they almost beat the defending world champs in their house with a guy coming off of a leg injury that was gruesome, and everyone's wondering how he's going to handle that and the money, and Dak was terrific.
Settle down just a little bit.
They won 12 games last year.
And then they turned around and lost the Denver Broncos.
And they won their division.
Yeah, I think we always lose to the Broncos.
I think Jacob's talking about a team like not going to win their division because they do dumb things like what the Chargers do. They just kind of play dumb football sometimes, you know.
This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
So, what do you say?
Yeah, I think
the Cardinals is a good pick.
I see what he's saying. Yeah. And I
How about
kind
Atlanta?
Of agree with
him. Atlanta, maybe not anymore, but they had been that way for a while.
They had been that way, but they did go to a Super Bowl.
I'm sorry, you wanted to chime in here, sir? Go for it.
Yeah, no worries. I was going along with what Chris was saying, right? What I was getting at is, you know, there's like I feel like the Cardinals are this team that's really good, and to be fair, the Dallas Cowboys are as well. I don't want to disrespect TJ's fandom over there, but when I think about the Cardinals, right, I think to myself how, like, they always look unbeatable sometimes, right? And then they have things like AJ Green not turning around to, you know, catch the touchdown to beat the Green Bay Packers. Or just something dumb happens, and the Chargers do the exact same thing when they have these games.
All right. Jacob, thanks for the call. TJ, you want to chime in?
No.
Because I shut you down. You're upset. Right, because I said,
"Oh yeah, I'm going into a corner shell right now."
No, come on, seriously.
Well, you shut up, let me answer.
I didn't hear what he just said.
Okay, you don't want to chime in on Jacob?
No, I just said I agree with Chris earlier. I agree with Arizona. They seem like that team. There's weeks with the Cardinals look like they could beat anybody, and then they'll lose a game. You're like, how was this the same team that we watched 2 weeks?
Did you see Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals did not score a touchdown on offense with Cliff calling the plays, and then he handed it off to Kyler, and they did score a touchdown? Did you see that? As, by the way, the Ravens won yet another preseason game.
22 in a row.
The most meaningless stat of all time.
How?
It is, but it's not, though.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It kind of builds character for the season, doesn't it?
That's meaningless.
Completely meaningless.
And by the way, how about the tight end, Isaiah Likely? Could they have?
What's more?
You know, seriously, right?
But
how about that kid? How about if Mark Andrews and him together?
Mark Andrews just popped up. He's in the 30s.
They still need like a dominant WR1 on that.
Don't you think?
We've all been saying that.
But who? Like, it's not like there's anybody out there right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, it would be. I'd love to see Lamar have that before it's sooner than later.
Also, Lamar, no joke. He's like looks 20. What did they say? 25 pounds. Heavier on the broadcast?
Bro, Lamar's jacked.
Huge, man.
Remember when we talked last week about, I asked you, did you ever notice the size of Lamar's neck? Yeah. Like, homeboy is just.
Well, he's also, like we said, he's 6'3". He's not like, you know, Kyler Murray running around.
Okay, let's get to it. It's a Monday, coming off of a very busy football weekend. It's time for Overreaction Monday. Hit it. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays. Monday.
Hit it, Christopher.
Hey, guys. Let's go. Did you see who's back in South Florida?
Who?
Tom, he's back! Well,
it's Central Florida.
Hey!
That's why I was thrown off.
I was like, Miami?
By the way, nothing to see
New
here.
Guy.
Nothing to see here with the Brady absence.
Okay.
Nothing to see.
Well, I'd agree with that. There's nothing to see here. If it's personal, and who's been able to, you know, box up the personal and just focus on the professional...
There's all report out there that he had went to the Bahamas with his family.
Look, I don't want to get really into the there's been rumors all over the map that are really personal and also really, I don't know. There is nothing to see here. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that there's a teammate there that thinks that Tom is thinking too much of himself. There's never been a teammate that I think thinks that of Brady. I can't imagine. I haven't heard that at all in 20 years. I haven't heard even one disgruntled Patriot say that. You know, so I will agree. Nothing to see here. He is one of those types of athletes that can compartmentalize and will do so, I think. But one never knows. And September 11th, Tampa at Dallas will be the first.
Oh.
Indication of such, and I cannot wait for that.
Me too.
So I think that's an appropriate reaction. Nothing to see here.
All right, this next one I kind of did just because I want to see what you guys are going to say. All right, also in line with what with talking about Brady. Ooh. Gruden made the right call not taking Brady and Gronk in 2020.
That's ridiculous.
He made the right call. Just think about where the Raiders are now. If he had done that back then, right? No Derek Carr right now, no Davante Adams right now, no Josh McDaniels right now, no Josh Jacobs, no Chandler Jones, no Mac. All those guys are probably not on the team right
now. Or maybe some of them would have arrived on the spot because Brady would have brought them there.
Yeah.
What about the same way that if the Raiders had conducted themselves the same way that the Bucks did? Come on, man. You don't
the Raiders
look
weren't
at
as
Tom,
good as the Bucks, though. Do you think if Brady had gone, they won the Super Bowl that year? Like the Bucks did?
I can't sit here and say that, no. I can't.
Bucks were loaded on offense. They delivered.
I understand, but you can't look at Brady and Gronk and say, yeah, we'll pass. Honestly, I'm mystified by that. Completely mystified, and I understand his love for Derek Carr, and I have nothing but appreciation of him and belief in him. I mean, I'm saying the Raiders are winning the division this year after the division just turned into what the division has turned into.
Mark Davis said he had no knowledge of this, though. Like, how's that possible?
I can't imagine that. Dana White had to contact somebody to get Mayock's number, right?
Vegas? Dana White knows people in Vegas,
but
right?
How about this? How about this? If it wasn't Gruden, it was Gruden and Mayock together, and... You know, and Mark Davis saw Brady do what he did, and they and Mayock was part of the crew that said, yeah, let's not do that. And you're seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of, like, get out. Right?
Maybe. Maybe.
That's interesting.
I don't know. There's so much crazy-ass speculation around, but I'll say that's an overreaction. You got a shot at Brady and Gronk in 2020. You take that shot in 2020. Come on. What else?
Right. You know who looked good over the weekend? Kenny Pickett looks good over the weekend. Yes. Lamar Jackson looks absolutely yoked, and we know the Bengals are going to be good. How about the AFC North? Three playoff teams.
I think you could say that. I think three playoff teams from there, and then you get two in the West because they're beat up. The Colts and
one in the West. I don't know.
Two in the West because you're when you're saying three playoff teams, you're talking about the division winner and two wild cards. Right.
Okay, yeah. Then one division winner and the other.
Right.
Team.
Correct.
Right.
So you get the division winner. You get the Bills and whoever the Colts and the Titans are. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So no Patriots. Maybe no Titans.
Ooh. No Dolphins.
No Dolphins. No.
No second. No third and fourth place finisher in the AFC West.
Right.
That's totally doable. Ooh. That's totally doable. And the way that the NFL would normally operate, in the way that you don't see
right,
it coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I think that's totally doable. Kenny Pickett starting, which is something that I thought was entirely possible. I don't know. I mean, you heard Jordan Palmer earlier say it's easier to start with the veteran and go to the kid. That's no question about it. That's what happened with Roethlisberger, you know?
Yeah.
And then they turned to Roethlisberger out of necessity because Tommy Maddox got hurt.
Touchdown, Tommy.
And I just remember Alan Fanick, a future Hall of Famer, and the rest of the offensive line. Like, I don't know. This team's ready to win now. Right? We've got to turn to the kid. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Kid turned out all right.
What else, Chris? What else?
TJ, the rookie record for receiving touchdowns. You know who that is? The guy your team passed on, Randy Moss, 17.
Nice.
Back in the day.
That still hurts. Still hurts.
I'm going to say.
Teams passed on him, too. So
I'm going to say, you know who's really good? Chris Olave is really good. He's going to challenge Moss's rookie TD.
I don't know. Can Jameis get it to him? Is Jameis going to be healthy enough to get it to him? If he's not, then who's
touchdowns
the quarterback
in every game this year?
I get it. I don't know. Look, I can personally attest as to how good Chris Olave is. He ruined many, many a November, with the exception of last one.
Not about you. It's about Chris Olave. It's about Chris Olave and the Saints.
That was a good one. I just love it.
Not about you and Michigan.
I had to stop myself. I'll say that's an overreaction.
Well, plus, if Can't Guard Mike is back, then that's going to be very hard for him to get
17. Who's going to be the kid? He might lead all rookies with it. I don't know. Garrett Wilson's quarterback just had surgery 6 days ago.
That's what I mean.
And then what? You know, Drake London's hurt.
Hey, meet me at the London.
Tyquan Thorne's now out 8 to 10 weeks.
I don't know. Look to the second round for your wide receivers, too. A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf. I'll just say that's an overreaction and move on.
Hey, speaking of guys catching touchdowns, did you see the play that Josh Allen made over the weekend? To Gabriel Davis?
Yeah, took forever.
Lordy. My God.
He just keeps the play alive, and then he flips it up in the air.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis is going to be the Bills' number one receiver this year.
I think that is absolutely a spot-on supposition. I will just say it's not analysis. It's not a prediction. I will say that Stephon Diggs is going to get so much attention, and rightfully so, that this kid, Gabriel Davis, is going to have a monster season. I loved talking to him the other day. I loved hearing his story. As you know, I love narratives and stories about him not getting drafted in the first two nights of the draft. Everybody's cleaning up at his party on that Friday night of the draft night. He went in the fourth round the next day, but he said he was so embarrassed he went in the bathroom and cried. You hear that and you just know that guys just want to win. I'm getting even, it's my I'm getting the goosebumps right now because I love stories like that. So, yes, I say that is an appropriate reaction. I'll say that, you know, I'm not being at all critical of Stephon Diggs, but I'll go with that. Is there one more? Do you got one more?
Yeah, one more. I got one more. Don't need a mic. It's all good.
I was gonna
look, they look terrible.
Sorry, I don't hear it anyway because the batteries just went out of
they
my ears.
They look terrible over the weekend. Do you mean to talk loud? Okay. I'll talk loud. The Seahawks will be drafting number one overall.
Oh, my God. We're back to this now? We're back to this now?
They look awful. They look terrible.
Are we back to this now?
Yes. They don't have any quarterback. I'm talking C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, Seahawks colors.
I guess you could say it's not an overreaction. I guess you could.
I mean,
look
I didn't
this,
double down on my Pete Carroll take. I'm just saying number
saying
one.
Pete's going to be gone.
Yeah, I'm just number one.
I mean, you can't. You know, if you're identifying teams prior to the season as to how they look at the quarterback position and how,
as I told you,
the runny nose is a lack of tackling, but it's just a preseason game, and Pete's always better than you think.
Yeah, well.
Ah, screw it. It's an overreaction. I'll cape for the 12s. All right, when we come back here, I overreacted to something on Twitter. The Kayvon Thibodeau hit. And, man, am I getting roasted. I don't know football. I suck. I'm a moron. Mike Pereira will tell me why that's a legal hit when we come back. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, me talking about to our rest of our audience on YouTube and Odyssey. I'm catching the terrestrial radio audience up to speed. I did, in fact, misidentify the Kayvon Thibodeau hit as illegal, thinking there should be a fine and all of that. And boy, I mean, honestly, I'm getting people saying, do you either know football or you do not?
It's amazing how many people on the comments know they should be coaching football.
And just to point out, by the way, and I understand people might get upset with this comment. If I was a woman, they wouldn't be. They'd be off the planet. They couldn't talk football ever again. That's the sexism. A guy, it's just like I just didn't know the rule book, which I didn't. But a woman does it. Forget it.
Yeah,
they'll never be heard from again in many people's minds. So let's just focus on that. That everybody makes mistakes. I'm clearly one of them. I just think this shouldn't be legal at all. Like what? How the hell is that legal? How the hell would a general manager, a coach, or an owner of a team want their star player to be so exposed? Now, interestingly enough, I was poking around. I heard part of that might be on Thibodeau, too. Thibodeau should know it's coming.
Right.
He ran straight at it.
He was kind of bracing for up high block.
And then a veteran should know this is coming and get ready and position himself to spin off it or hit the guy with your shoulder pad. So. Why is this legal? I figured let's call my buddy, Mike Pereira, who loves pointing out when I'm incorrect. He's on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the NFL Fox Rules analyst, former head of NFL refs, Mike Pereira, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, except for the fact that I had a knee-jerk reaction to a hit by Thaddeus Moss on Kayvon Thibodeau that looked dirty, but is legal. And so my question for you is, Mike, is... why is that block that damn near took out one of the top rookies' knees last night legal?
Well, I mean, I guess I would ask the reverse. Why would it be illegal? I mean, it's not illegal to block below the waist all the time. And that particular block was inside the tight end box, so that makes it legal. Moss actually started within the tight end box. So even from that position, it's legal to block below the waist. Had he been coming from outside in motion, what they call a crackback block, it would still have been legal because it was on the opposite side of where Moss lined up of the ball. So there's really nothing, there's no category that you could have put that in as illegal. However, that being said, I talked to the league this morning, and it's something that the competition committee has been looking at. And all you need is a bit of an uproar, a significant injury, and you could look at saying, okay, we're gonna ban all blocks below the waist, even if it happens in the what you call now the tight end box. So I imagine this will generate more discussion, and I think they've talked about it the last 2 years, as a matter of fact. But once they got to that tight end box and basically made blocks below the waist legal in the tight end box and illegal anywhere outside the tight end box, there was just no place to put that action by Moss yesterday to make it illegal.
Well, how about below the knee? How about that? Or you hit someone in the ankle? Because that's where it's, you know, the knee is what we always look at, but that ankle is what kind of folded as well last night. I mean, again, I am not an expert, clearly, when it comes to offensive line play and blocking and things of that nature. But it just strikes me that if you are blocking below the waist and you block right on the knee, so many players tell me over and over again they'd rather be hit in the head than in the knee. I keep hearing that all the time.
Obviously, that was, you know, when all the emphasis went on protection of the head and neck area, the consensus of some within the competition committee that you were going to force the players to go low. And there's like an unwritten rule of players saying that you don't want to go low. But that's obviously changed. And, you know, the quarterback, you know, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact of, are you in a defenseless position? Are you vulnerable? Or do you, as in the case with Thibodeau, did you see that block coming? And I think he did, and he kind of braced himself in a funny position, actually, kind of turning a bit sideways, which maybe even exposed his knee a little bit more. But, you know, you're getting to the stage in both college and NFL football where each and every year you seem to restrict the rule in terms of when it is legal to block below the waist, and we'll probably see it. I mean, if they've been talking about it for 2 years, which I'm told they have been, if they've been talking about it for 2 years, I'm not going to be surprised if we see something, and maybe it's what you say. Maybe it's an Eisen. You know, you've got to be, if it's at the knee area yes. or below, then it's going to be illegal. You got to be above the knee. Maybe that's come. You know, maybe that is coming, but not in this case. It wasn't illegal.
Okay, so you had mentioned quarterback hits and things of that nature moments ago. Is there what's the rules of emphasis this year that the league is going to be calling or not calling so far?
Well, to me, Rich, when I look at all the emphasis, there were no rule changes, right?
Right.
I mean, there was one rule change, and it applied only in the postseason, and it was overtime, and it was the Chiefs and the Bills. So that was the only actual change. The typical things of contact of the quarterback's head, I mean, that is constant. You look at that. The taunting issue is still the same. Mm. But the illegal contact is probably the one, and that's the one to me that changes the game. And it's not a rule change. The rule is exactly the same. But the emphasis is not. They want more calls. And why do they want that? Because the committee looks at numbers. You look at the 2021 season, and all of a sudden you see that points per game were down 4 points a game. Passing yards per game were down 24 yards. And so they look and they say, why? Well, there's two ways to look at it, in my opinion. You could go look at the numbers, what they were in 2021, and recognize that 49.6 points per game was like all-time high, 4 points above the norm, and the passing yards were up too. But you look at the numbers as they reflect the year before, and they're down, and so you make an emphasis of it. We did it in 2003 when I was there, and all of a sudden the number of illegal contact calls in the year went from 79 in 2003 to 191 in 2004. Did it again in 2013 when the numbers were 59 and it went to, I think it was about 160 the following year. Last year there was only 39 calls, which was one of the lowest ever in terms of illegal contact since the rules came in. So you're going to see more of those, and it will frustrate the daylights out of people, because it's one thing to have a 5-yard penalty when it's 3rd and 17. But when that 5-yard penalty for illegal contact, which has nothing to do with the severity of the contact, even if it doesn't affect the receiver, if it's initiated by the defender, it carries that 5 yards in an automatic first down. And so it becomes a huge penalty. So
that's the thing with fans, Mike, is that it gets them particularly frustrated is when it's away from the play and you don't see it on the screen, and then all of a sudden a flag comes in and it affects, you know, whether a defense gets off the field or not, and it's away from the play. So you're saying, like, what, weeks 1 through 4, we should expect to see a ton more of those until there's hue and cry, or the players get used to it, and then we'll see less of it? Is that the way it's going to go?
This is not one like, okay, we're going to get the tackles up on the line of scrimmage. And it's not one that they're going to call a lot in the preseason and then not call as much during the regular season. This is a constant one. I mean, the committee is adamant about this. They didn't like that number of illegal contact calls in the 2021 season. So we're going to see a lot of that. And I know fans get furious about, you know, 3rd and 17 and a 5-yard penalty makes it 1st and 10. But the theory being with the committee and the rule was that if it was 3rd and 15, then you're going to be actively aggressive as a corner when it comes to, you know, playing bump and run or riding beyond 5 yards, because you know that a 5 yard penalty would make it still 3rd and 12. And so, listen, it's an offensive league. We know that, right? And so they like points, they like yardage, and I guess they like illegal contact penalties too, because they'll see more.
Mike Pereira, bless you. I can hear you're in an airport. Go travel safely. We'll chat down the line during the season. You're the best. Thanks.
Thank you, brother.
That's Mike Pereira, Fox Sports NFL rules expert here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, boy. Get ready for it. The most frustrating penalty in football is the roughing the passer where the quarterback barely gets touched, right? Helmet-to-helmet contact where it's really helmet-to-shoulder contact.
Right.
But a close second or third is the illegal contact penalty that happens away from the play.
It has nothing to do with the
your
action.
Your team is playing tough defense. It's 3rd and 17. Quarterback looks to his right, throws down the field, incomplete, no flag. Wait a minute, there's a flag on the play. Was that pass interference? No. There was illegal contact on the receiver at the top of your screen, out of view from you sitting there at home watching. And it was just a shove 6 yards down the field. Quarterback never looked there, never had any intention of going there. But it's still a foul. And Mike just basically told us, get ready for a lot of those.
Ugh.
Coming. Because the competition committee wants it called. Talk about breaking bad there, huh? How about that for a little segue? Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, is coming up next in studio. But we're still here, right here on our YouTube stream, just to expound on this a little bit more. Usually the emphasis penalties are called significantly more in the preseason. Haven't seen it, though, that much in the preseason.
Yeah, not really.
And then they are just a rash of penalties weeks 1 through maybe 4. And then they go away because there will be an adjustment. Players will adjust to it. There's always, you know, an adjustment period, and they do listen to it. And then there's such a hue and cry from the fan base.
Yeah, Tom Brady tweets about it.
That's all you need is Tom Brady to tweet about it, yeah. Like he did the holding penalties on that Thursday night years ago, and then it was
gone.
Over.
Gone.
The emphasis on the holding penalties. Interesting, that was a night where Sean Hockley was going crazy, and he's the one who threw the flag on Brady in after taking one in the chops for his only
unsportsmanlike
conduct penalty of his career.
After he's bleeding
and
ear-holing Hockley, and then boom,
by
penalty.
The way, great name. Write that down.
Ear-holing Hockley?
Ear-holing Hockley is a great fantasy team name entry late in the season. Ear-holing Hockley is a great fantasy team name. Or what? A very unknown REM album? You're holding Hockley.
Where do you fell come off camera?
Where do you come up with the,
I don't
the
know.
Groups?
Yeah, I don't
where
know
where you come up with the group.
I don't know.
It's because
ska R&D. Band.
It's definitely not a Right Said Fred album. You know what I mean?
Nice. One hit wonder. Right Said.
Too sexy for my. Now they have two.
But you know what I'm saying? Like this is the way it's coming, and we like front loading you all out there who consume this program with that information.
I mean, it's gonna be super annoying, but yeah. I mean, hopefully it goes away the second half of the year.
It's not usually the second half of the year. It's usually the second quarter of the season.
Yeah.
But, man, I hate those penalties because you don't see them sitting at home. You don't see them sitting at home, and it makes you think that what you're seeing isn't – they're usually because they're away from the play, whoever is in charge of putting that yellow flag logo up on the bottom right of your screen to know that it's been a flag on the play. So you don't see it thrown,
sometimes it's not there.
On your screen. And so it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
And that makes it worse, even though, you know, it was called on time.
Right.
You just learn about it late, which makes you crazy. Vince Gilligan, Better Call Saul conversation coming up next.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.